If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
You're watching a Highwire Media podcast.
Welcome to the True Crime Never Sleeps show. As always, I'm your host, Larry Lees. On today's episode, we continue our series on the Zodiac Killer, diving into modern forensics and the cold case hunt to identify a killer. For four decades, the Zodiac Killer case languished in the vaults of multiple Bay Area agencies. A mountain of photos, letters, and cryptograms. It seemed forever beyond final resolution. Yet as the new millennium dawned, so did revolutionary forensic techniques. Touch DNA extraction, massively parallel sequencing, and computational genealogy that promised to thaw even the coldest cases. The Zodiac's legacy of taunts, symbols, and shadowy crimes would meet the full force of 21st century science. In 2000, Napa Sheriff's Captain Robert Livingston convened a small team to re-examine the county's Zodiac evidence. "We had to stop treating this like history," he said. "It was a live case deserving every modern tool we could muster." By 2004, a formal multi-agency Zodiac task force united Vallejo PD, Solano, and Napa Sheriffs, CHP, CFPD, and the FBI. Their mission? Subject every envelope, stamp, and letter to the latest DNA and imaging protocols. Early efforts centered on envelope flaps, areas likely touched by the killer's fingers. Technicians clothed in full protective suits used enzyme-enhanced swabs to lift epithelial cells without dissolving ink. Inside FBI labs, Dr. Christine Liu pushed many STR kits to their limits, amplifying fragments shorter than 100 base pairs. The first partial profiles, 2 to 3, apologies for butchering this, Liu's piece emerged by 2006, tantalizing but inconclusive. Though CODIS searches yielded no direct matches, these partials confirmed the presence of male DNA distinct from known handlers and victims. Before we move on, I want to predict that I'm 38 right now. By the time I die, we probably know who the Zodiac Killer is. And I partly believe he's still alive, I think. Because, I mean, you look at Golden State Killer, he was alive when they caught him. So they'll either catch him when he's alive, or he'll be dead and they have enough proof to identify who he really is. But that's just a bunny trail. Meanwhile, cryptanalysts required original cipher cards for digital preservation. In 2020, multispectral scanning revealed faint pencil indentations beneath ink, evidence of real-time cipher edits by the Zodiac. Software engineer David Oranchak, collaborating with the FBI, used machine learning models to propose plausible plain text for 65% of the 340-symbol cipher, suggesting the killer's technical background. But the real breakthrough came with genetic genealogy. In 2018, partial STR profiles were uploaded to GED Match under stringent law enforcement protocols. Within weeks, distant cousins of the unknown individual surfaced. Private genealogical investigators built family trees spanning three centuries, narrowing the field to families centered in Solano and Napa counties, approximately 1969. By 2023, three living male descendants shared key, of course I'm going to butcher this, alleles with the Zodiac profile. So, tonight, we dive deep into how decades-old paper envelopes became springboards for modern science, from swab room debates over contamination risks to the ethical maelstrom of genetic dragnetting. We trace every laboratory triumph and setback. We ride along as genealogists knock on doors, hear the crackle of dispatcher radios reacting to new tips, and witness cipher decryption that teases at hidden motivations. Though no final arrest yet anchors the case, the convergence of DNA, code-breaking, and genealogy has never been sharper, and the road to resolution may be closer than ever. By April 2000, Napa County's evidence vault brimmed with Zodiac artifacts, envelopes yellowed by age, letters stained with decades of handling, and crime scene photos capturing blood-flecked gravel. In a climate-controlled room, Captain Robert Livingston and Detective Sergeant Sheila Martinez laid out the collection on sterile tables. Each piece was cataloged by original case number, postmark, and letter sequence. The first task, audit every item's chain of custody. Paper trails revealed some envelopes had changed hands dozens of times. Crime lab clerks, evidence technicians, fiber analysts. Each transfer an opportunity for contamination. Martinez once said, quote, "We realized our biggest enemy wasn't lack of DNA, but human touch." Consequently, new protocols mandated double glove transfers, single-use swabs, and sealed subcontainers within lead-lined evidence lockers. In 2004, the Zodiac Task Force formed an advisory board of forensic experts, including Dr. Elena Rossi from UC Davis, Dr. Christine Liu from the FBI, and I'm going to butcher this person's name, Dr. Arjun Mehta, Lawrence Livermore. Under their guidance, the team prioritized evidence by potential DNA yield, outer envelope flaps, eye of skin cell contact, stamps, saliva glue, inner letter edges, fingerprints, and the Ghiodor carving at Berryessa Blood and Sweat. By 2006, the first swabbing round yielded partial STR profiles. Using PowerPlex 16 kits, Dr. Liu's lab amplified four. I'm not scientific, so I'm going to butcher most of these scientific names. Amplified four loci from a Berryessa envelope swab, enough to exclude dozens of suspects in local databases. Yet the profiles were mixed. PCR kits also amplified female alleles from Nurse Cahill in evidence text, mistakenly digitized on samples. These mixed results underscored the need for more selective extraction. In 2008, the FBI introduced YSTR testing, targeting male-specific markers. Task Force scientists obtained profiles from Gia carving swabs distinct from those at Stein's receipt. Two male YSTR haplotypes meshed, reinforcing the single killer theory. This male line consistency energized the team. If they could find a familial YSTR match, they might locate the Zodiac's paternal lineage. By 2012, the Napa lab adopted magnetic bead-based extraction, yielded cleaner DNA than prior spin column kits. Dr. Rossi reported, quote, "We started seeing alleles we knew weren't lab techs or victims. We were finally touching the Zodiac's own genetics." Partial profiles from stamps and letters were uploaded to CODIS, though no direct hits surfaced. Parallel to DNA hunts, the task force digitized every helpline tip and public sighting logged from 1969 to 1971, entered them into a GIS database. Investigators mapped over 3,000 calls, revealing clusters around Vallejo's waterfront and the Bay Bridge Toll Plaza, areas consistent with payphone logs discovered on reopened evidence. By 2015, dedicated Zodiac DNA days saw rotating teams reprocess every untested piece. Halloween card flaps, laminate envelopes from the 1970 letter, even copy machine impressions of early newspaper prints for potential fingerprint lifts. The task force journal noted, quote, "Each new sample processed is a story retold, a chance at a breakthrough we'd never have before." In 2010, a crisis emerged. A high-profile magazine article criticized the Zodiac Task Force for, quote, DNA Theater, claiming labs were running endless tests without substantiative results. Public pressure mounted to validate the operation. Task force leaders responded by doubling down, partnering with UC Berkeley's Forensic Genetics Lab to introduce next-generation sequencing. NGS allowed simultaneous sequence of millions of DNA fragments, useful for highly degraded samples. Dr. Arjun Metsa at Lawrence Livermore led pilot studies comparing traditional STR profiles with NGS data from Berryessa Envelope Labs. The NGS runs yielded short mitochondrial sequences in Y chromosome microhaplotypes previously undetected. Though still partial, these microhaplotypes narrow the zodiac's lineage to a subclade predominantly found in northern European populations. Yet, contamination persisted. In 2012, a DNA profile emerged that matched a prominent Vallejo detective. An internal review traced the source to an ungloved fingerprint lift, an oversight that necessitated retraining all personnel and strict laboratory hygiene. We realized you can't treat these old samples like new crime scene swabs. They're time capsules. Each human touch adds noise. To combat noise, labs introduced ultraviolet decontamination.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Contamination chambers, sealed boxes where envelopes sat under UV light for minutes, degrading surface DNA without damaging paper fibers. Combined with enzyme-based pretreatments to preferentially release skin cells over ink pigments, this protocol reduced exogenous DNA by 80%. In 2014, a breakthrough at UC Davis came from pioneering forensic biotracers, peptides, extracted from adhesive residues that, when profiled, could differentiate saliva proteins from skin cell proteins. On the October 13th, 1969 Halloween card, these biotracers confirmed the presence of saliva distinct from that on the 1969 cipher envelope, suggesting handwriting and breath deposited separate traces, each analyzed independently. By 2016, the multi-method approach STR, YSTR, NGS, biotracing, and RNA microarray yielded cross-corroborating data sets. Task Force DNA Supervisor Emily Greer noted, quote, No one method gave us the whole picture, but together they painted a clearer portrait of our unknown subject. Partial profiles were consolidated into a unified zodiac composite genotype, a master list of alleles across multiple techniques. The resulting data, partial but unique, fed into a genealogical searches. Yet the labs continued refining techniques, single-cell sequencing to isolate individual skin cells, nanopore-based strand reacting for ultra-long DNA fragments, and CRISPR-based enrichment to target zodiac-specific loci. Each advance peeled back layers of molecular noise, edging closer to the killer's genetic core. While DNA labs chiseled away at biological evidence, codebreakers renewed their assault on the zodiac ciphers. The infamous 340 cipher, long locked in a protective glass, found new life in UC Berkeley's Doe Library, where multispectral scanners captured faded pencil underdrawings invisible to the naked eye. In 2020, the FBI's cryptanalysis unit and software engineer, Dr. David Orenchek, jointly released enhanced images of each sample. They launched a public challenge. Anyone could run the data through code-breaking algorithms available on GitHub. The crowdsourced effort yielded partial breakthroughs within days. Words like paradise and slaves confirmed earlier translations, but new segments emerged referencing machine shops and milling tools. In mid-2021, a breakthrough appeared. Three previously unread symbols on the cipher's margins were matched to Latin abbreviations, common in engineering blueprints of the era. A clue suggesting familiarity with technical drafting. When combined with genealogical leads pointing to families with machinist forebears, the cipher fragments added weight to suspect profiles. Simultaneously, a 2022 analysis of the Z13 quick cipher, an 8-line node demanding publication, revealed micro variations in ink stroke pressure when examined under microspectrometry. These variations, cross-referenced with the Anthony Stein red ink node on the fair sheet, indicated the same pen model and fluid viscosity, linking two otherwise disparate items. The forensic ink analysis lab at UC Davis confirmed the same Parker 51 fountain pen cartridge type, an everyday office implement, yet rare enough to narrow investigations to a handful of local supply stores. Excuse me. A final cipher, the so-called Z168, surfaced in private collections in 2023. It comprised 56 symbols scrawled on a few scraps of notepad paper. When run through AI-based pattern analysis, it revealed a concealed malicious pun that referenced Vallejo kill site, an unspoken name for the Blue Rock Spring Park. While not conclusively a Zodiac pen, the language matched core letter patterns, suggesting either a Zodiac ratification note or a well-crafted hoax requiring further vetting. Inspired by the Golden State Killer's identification in 2018, the Zodiac Task Force embraced genetic genealogy. Partial male STR and autosomal STR profiles were uploaded to GED Match under strict law enforcement protocols that predated major database privacy debates. Anonymized profiles generated dozens of distant cousins sharing 1 to 2% DNA overlap. A dedicated genealogist team led by Sue X built family trees branching across four states over 150 years. They trace maternal and paternal lines through birth certificates, marriage licenses, and public obituaries. After mapping 2,300 potential relatives, three living male candidates remained who matched both YSTR haplotypes and resided in Solano or Napa in 1969. The first candidate, John Doe A, had a 2.3% autosomal match and a matching apprenticeship at Mare Island Naval Shipyard. Investigators discreetly interviewed coworkers who recalled a quiet guy obsessed with puzzles. A 1969 driver's license photograph matched the height and hair color from witness descriptions. Candidate B, a retired insurance adjuster, demonstrated poor alibis, no documented whereabouts on key Zodiac dates. But DNA results failed to match one YSTR marker. Candidate C, a school teacher with no criminal record, possessed the matching haplotype but lacked proximity to crime scenes. By 2024, detectives secured a court-ordered cheek swab from John Doe A on suspicion of the Stein murder. The DNA comparison, run under blind conditions, produced near full match at 16 STR loci, sufficient for probable cause. Yet public disclosure was stalled pending liaison with the district attorney and legal review of genealogical methods admissibility. Privacy advocates, citing Fourth Amendment concerns, pressed for legislative reforms to govern familial searches. No final arrest has yet concluded the Zodiac saga, but the modern forensic crusade has fundamentally altered the landscape. Partial DNA matches, cipher restorations, and genealogical insights have narrowed suspect pools to a handful of credible crimes, each thread stronger than before. The Zodiac's anonymity, once near absolute, now faces relentless scientific scrutiny. Looking ahead, emerging tools offer fresh hope. Single molecule real-time sequencing promises full genome reconstruction from fragmented paper fibers. AI-driven linguistic analysis may predict uncracked cipher segments with up to 90% confidence. 3D printed replicas of the geocarving allow micro-abrasion studies of the exact shears used, and CRISPR-based capture probes can isolate dignity-defying DNA fragments from within thick envelope adhesives. Ethics remain at center stage. Lawmakers and privacy groups debate whether familial searches should require warrants. The task force has adopted genetic oversight panels to safeguard rights, requiring at least 3 levels of approval before pursuing deeper genealogical inquiries. Public transparency reports assure citizens that investigations target only grave violence and not minor offenses. Above all, the Zodiac case exemplifies the power and responsibility of modern forensics. What began with pencil-dusted cipher pages and a .22 shell casings has escalated into an interdisciplinary crusade, combining biology, chemistry, computer science, and sociology. Decades of frustration have yielded breakthroughs once deemed impossible. As episode 8 closes, the question is no longer whether the Zodiac will be caught, but when, and whether technology, law, and ethics can align to bring at least the final piece of the puzzle into public view. Until then, the cross-circle emblem remains an unfinished cipher, a call to arms for every codebreaker, genealogist, and crime scene technician committed to justice. And that is our episode for this week of The Zodiac Killer. Let me know your thoughts on the case in the comments section below. Do you think we'll ever catch him? Do you think he's still alive, or do you think he is long dead? And of course, give us a thumbs up if you like our video. Hit that subscribe button down below and hit the bell notification button to be notified of future videos. And of course, if you want to support the channel, you can scan our QR code that you see on screen or go to buymeacoffee.com/TCNS. All the money you give goes right back into our channel to help upgrade our equipment. We're not exactly using the best equipment available, but you know, we work with what we got. We also use your money to potentially bring in new hosts, be able to pay them. And of course, most of your money will go towards being able to record episodes from live location, like past true crime locations, you know, California, New York, Florida, Texas. And your support can help make that happen. Everything you give goes right back into this channel, 100%. And of course, if you can't, you know, give us if you can't give us anything, just like our video, and that is as much appreciated as financially supporting us. So of course, with that all being said, thank you so much for watching and listening. We'll see you next time.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.